Grace and mercy and peace be to you on this Christmas Eve from God our Father and the baby born of Mary in the little town of Bethlehem. Amen. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to you and to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I don't know, are you all sung out yet? That was some good singing in response to some good word hearing. And that's what we gather here this evening to do. How often have we heard those texts? How often have we sung some of those songs? And I know some of you are going to say, no, we didn't sing the really good ones that we like to sing. You never let us sing the good ones that we like to sing. You'll get to sing them yet. We're not done. But this evening we come here to once again hear the Christmas story. How familiar. How familiar is that? And yet, as familiar as it may be, we never tire of hearing it because of its sublime beauty. Tonight, we heard the Christmas story from three different perspectives. In the Old Testament readings from Genesis and Isaiah, we heard the Christmas story as it would have been told to those who lived before it happened. They were like little children who waited anxiously for Christmas Day to finally arrive. Their parents and their grandparents would have told them the story over and over and over again about how God had promised that an offspring from the woman would come into this world to crush the head of that evil devil. It would brought darkness and gloom and suffering and death into this world and into our lives. Year after year, on nights a lot like tonight, probably a little warmer, the Old Testament saints would have read the Christmas story from Isaiah's prophetic telling of it. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall grow fruit. The people walking in darkness will see a great light. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. And all the little boys and all the little girls and all the big men and all the big women and all who loved to hear that Christmas story and all who believed it to be true would say, how many more days till Christmas? How long do we have to wait? We can hardly wait any longer. And then we heard the Christmas story as it was told by those who were there when it finally, actually, really happened, when it came to pass. St. Luke interviewed Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and all the eyewitnesses that he could find. Everyone who saw and behold and held what those 14 generations from Abraham to David, and those 14 generations from David to the deportation in Babylon, and the 14 generations from Babylon to the Christ had all so eagerly waited for. This is undoubtedly the Christmas story that we're all most familiar with and never tire of hearing again and again and again. It's a story about a man whose name was Joseph, who was betrothed to a woman whose name was Mary. In those days, betrothal was a lot different than our idea of engagement. They were pledged to be married to each other, yet they had never known each other intimately. Betrothal meant that if they were to break the engagement, it would require an official divorce. It was that binding. There is nothing special about Mary or Joseph that's either noteworthy about them or that the gospel writers Mark or Matthew or Luke tell us. In fact, the only thing that we're told about both of them is that they could trace their family line, their tree, all the way back to David. And that in itself put them squarely in the line of the Messiah, who is promised to come from the seed and the root of Jesse. The thing, of course, that makes this story so unique and beautiful is the fact that Mary is pregnant. And she's pregnant while she's still a virgin. And both she and her betrothed know that the Father is none other than the Holy Spirit. And the child in Mary's womb is none other than the Holy Son of God. Late in her pregnancy, Joseph and Mary had to travel south from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea because the king wanted to get a more accurate count of how many people he could collect more taxes from. Everyone was required by law to register in his hometown, which for both of them happened to be Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary had a hard time finding a place to stay once they got to their hometown. Lots of people had come from afar to register in Bethlehem. Rooms were scarce. There were not many spare beds to be had. They were kind of like hen's teeth. So Joseph did the best that he could for his very expecting wife and found a place to at least escape from the elements of the night. We're not told how long that they were there before the time came for the child to be born. But born he was. And the baby was wrapped in the kind of clothes that babies in those days were wrapped in. And since there was no crib to lay their newborn baby in, one of them must have said that the animal's feeding trough was just about the perfect size and shape, and they could put a little straw or hay in it, and it would be comfortable. If only they could borrow it for just a little while, they would be so grateful. And so they laid their newborn baby, their wonderful counselor, their mighty God, their everlasting Father, their Prince of Peace, in an animal's feeding trough. And we can only wonder what the cows and the sheep must have thought of all of that. That same night, some angels in the sky appear to some shepherds who are on the outskirts of the town in the fields, watching over their flocks, just like good shepherds are to do. It's nighttime, and yet the sky suddenly is filled with so much light that the shepherds are scared right out of their wits. One of the angels speaks directly to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, a Savior, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And since shepherds back then didn't have cell phones or use GPS, the angels gave them some coordinates to go by so that they could find this baby. And if they would follow them, they would find the child indeed. And off the shepherds go, leaving their sheep behind, to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And we can only wonder what those sheep must have thought about all of that. Sure enough, they found the baby just as the angel said that they would. And they are busy telling their story, all about the angel, all about their journey, all about finding the baby right where the angel said. All of this they're telling to Mary and Joseph. And then they run back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. And I wouldn't be surprised that all of the people in Bethlehem weren't wakened from their sleep and asked each other what all the racket was about. That's the Christmas story. That's the Christmas story that we're all so familiar with. Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, Bethlehem, angels, shepherds. We usually throw in a donkey, a barn, a very rude innkeeper who didn't have the heart to make room for an expectant woman, even though none of that's in the text at all. We never get tired of hearing it. We never get tired of telling it. It's our life. It's our hope. A Savior has been born. This evening, we have also heard the Christmas story as it is told, not just from the perspective of those who lived beforehand, or even from those who were eyewitnesses to the actual event itself. But this evening, we have also heard the Christmas story told from a transcendent perspective that connects together the past with the present, all the way into the future, all the way into the eternal, and the infallible will and purpose of the Almighty God Himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that has been made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when was the last time you took your children or your grandchildren onto your knee and told them the Christmas story like that? Of course, it's all one and the same story as the one that we are most familiar with and love to tell. But this is the cosmic Christmas story. The cosmic Christmas story that no one who lives in time and space and human history could ever begin to imagine unless God Himself told it to us. Unless God Himself took us onto His knee, bounced us around a bit, and said, "Let me tell you, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." Only God, who is in the beginning, can tell us that the baby to be born of Mary in Bethlehem is none other than the eternal Word through whom the world was created. The timeless Christmas story interprets for us the meaning of the historical Christmas story. And the historical Christmas story tells us that God's eternal and unchangeable will for His creation is actually carried out in time and space and human history in that child born of Mary. In those days when a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, that was when the Word, the eternal Word, was made flesh. A Savior was born. Tonight we hear the incredible story once again that the baby born of Mary is not simply a special child, but that this baby is God Himself. Mary is not just the mother of Jesus, but she is also the mother of God. The one who orders the history of the world from the first day of creation to the last day of the world entered into this history when the time had fully come. The infinite is indeed contained by the finite. So when we are told that the baby born of Mary was in the beginning and the one through whom all things were made, let us also see that this child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger is the one through whom God is making all things new. In the beginning, God created His very good from the outside in by speaking down upon it. Let there be light, and there was light. On Christmas, it's a new beginning, and God makes all things new now from the inside out, by speaking from within His creation. The baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger is the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, speaking to us, saying, "Come to me, come to me." By His coming into creation, by taking on our humanity and living in the course of time and space, we see that this God has no intention of destroying His creation and starting all over again in order to make things new. That would have been the easier and the far less painful thing for Him to do. Rather, He enters into it. for his intention and his desire is to renew and redeem it from the inside out, one person at a time. So those swaddling cloths that he is wrapped in at his birth are now the sign of the grave cloths that he will be wrapped in at his death. The manger that he was laid in is a sign of the tomb that he will be laid in. The new beginning that God began when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary is accomplished when the baby she gives birth to cries from the cross, "It is finished." This is the Christmas story, anxiously anticipated in the Old Testament, come to pass in the New, that continues into the hearts and the minds of us here gathered together tonight. God has become man to redeem men and women, and that includes you and me and all people. The past, the present, and the future, all meeting together in this baby born in Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We stand to confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.